Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. You may email your questions through the website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. You may also mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bumpville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing with our study in the prophetic book of Jeremiah. We're chapter 16, the sign of the unmarried prophet. As we think of Jeremiah, we think of Jeremiah the young man. He was a man of 20 or 21 when he began this journey as prophet. He was the son of Hilkiah the priest. Hilkiah, possibly, depending on how you look at it, depending on which scholar you read, was the priest in 2 Kings chapter 22, who brought the book of the law to the notice of King Josiah, and that notice brought revival when the book of the law was read to the people. And there was a great revival in the kingdom under King Josiah. Now, whether or not it was Hilkiah the priest that did this, that was the father of Jeremiah or not, we don't know for sure. But if it was, then Jeremiah had quite a heritage. He had the priestly heritage of Hilkiah, the priest that helped bring revival to the land of Judah. But in any event, he did have a priestly heritage. He inherited the traditions of an ancestry that was quite illustrious as a priest. He had a life that was molded by strong religious influences. He knew what it was to serve the Lord. He knew what it was to do right and to live right. God appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet of the Most High God at one of the worst hours, the most trying hours, if you will, in the history of God's chosen people. Jeremiah was a sensitive, shrinking kind of fella who was like many prophets. He didn't really want to go do the prophetic thing. And the prophetic thing was abandoning your life to serve the Lord. And that means, as we'll see in chapter 16, to be unmarried, to stay away from festivals, to stay away from funerals, to not be a part of the culture, to not be a part of society. And all of us want to be a part of belonging. Everybody wants that. We all want to belong. We all want to be liked. We all want to be a part of the crowd, at least in some sense. Most of us want to be well recognized in the crowd and known as part of the in crowd, if you will. But Jeremiah was denied that because he was a prophet. And so we know he was a priest by birth. We know he was called by the Lord to be a prophet at an early age. In fact, we know from reading Jeremiah chapter 1 that Jeremiah was called to be a prophet before he was ever born, just as we find, of course, in God's word about us, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, we're told that God knows about us and calls us even before our birth. And so whether he had inexperience or he was young or he had a lack of eloquence or any of those other things he used as an excuse, Jeremiah was nonetheless was called to be a prophet. And so we're told, like I said in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, we are called by God and we are chosen to do the good works of God, even prior to our birth. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, there is a plan for each one of us God has for our lives, for our doing. And so here, Jeremiah's plan for his life that God had for him was for him to be a prophet. Now, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He's the fellow who is always lamenting things, and rightly so, as you read through chapter 16 and throughout the entire book of Jeremiah and the companion book of Lamentations as well. Let's get to chapter 16 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths, they shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and with famine. And their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, Enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Now we're told that God's mercy is new every morning. We're told that his loving kindness fails not. And yet here he says, My loving kindness and my mercies are finished with these people because of their sin, because of their evil. And the description that we've heard already here in chapter 16 is horrendous. They're all going to die. They're going to be food for the animals. Oh my. And here he has told Jeremiah, you will not marry. That's number one. You won't take a wife. You're not going to have sons. You're not going to have daughters. Number two, now you can't even attend a funeral. Can't go to the house of mourning. Because my loving kindness and my mercies are gone. Verse 6, Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them, neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning. Now, the word men and themselves is inserted there in the King James by the translators. Basically, neither shall tear them in mourning. This is the breaking of bread, basically. When you look at the original, it's the breaking of bread or the eating of a funeral meal following the funeral itself. This was the custom of the people, as it is in many locations today. After the funeral, everyone would gather in with the family and they would have a large meal. It would be a feast of sorts, to come alongside and to assist the family by talking to them and by letting them know that they have friends, etc. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning, that breaking of bread, to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. And the house of feasting, of course, is one of celebration here. And so you can't be married, you can't go to a funeral, you can't go to a celebration, you cannot participate with society. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, Wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity, or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he hath driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto your fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land, and they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, and I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Well, now, that 21 verses in chapter 16 goes all the way from the devastation of Jeremiah, not being able to marry, not being able then to be a parent, not being able to go to funerals, not being able to go to feasts, not to be able to be a part of society, not to be a part of the culture. And yet it goes all the way to where the Lord shows the rationale in part as to what he's doing. He's judging his people because they have been so wayward, they have been so idolatrous, and he's going to make them a sign, if you will, or a wonder for the Gentiles to see. Now, that's where oftentimes I think the Jewish folks have missed it, because God's word continually tells us time and time and time again from one book to the other that the Jews are an example for the Gentiles to bring the Gentiles to Almighty God. And here God says it in Jeremiah. The Gentiles are going to look and are going to see what this is all about, and they're going to be so excited about it, they're going to come and they're going to say, my, our fathers were wrong. We were taught the wrong things. How can we worship idols? How can we worship things made with our hands? This is a reassuring hope for Jeremiah. And we see that starting in verse 14 and going all the way to verse 21. When God's purposes of judgment are realized, he will gather the people of Judah back together again. In fact, he'll gather the people of Judah and the people of Israel and combine them one more time. And this is going to be so great, bringing these people from their dispersion, that the entire world, the Gentile world, will make note and take note of this very thing, of this transition and transformation of a people that are no people that become a people once again. And that's the promise. And of course, we've seen the promise and seen it fulfilled as well here in our day and age, as we've seen Israel brought back into the land, if you will. And while there are naysayers who say that that has nothing to do with prophecy, quite honestly, it does. When we talk about the remnant there in chapter 15, prior to our taking of the sign of the unmarried prophet, I want to remind us that Jeremiah was the representative of the remnant, that is, the godly people who had not forsaken the worship of Almighty God, who had not become part of the unbelieving masses. God has promised us in His Word that He has a remnant, and He always has a remnant, and we see that throughout history. If you study secular history, and it's secular history that's giving you the truth, which oftentimes does not, but if it's secular history that's giving you the truth, you will see a remnant of those who have believed in Yahweh and Jehovah, in Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, throughout history. You see a remnant. You saw a remnant of Christians throughout the centuries following the time of Jesus Christ. And in fact, there's a remnant of true Christianity even in this day and age. And you say, why are you saying it in that fashion? Well, because that's the way it is. The masses that consider themselves to be Christian, whether it's 85% of the population or 20% or 15% or whatever the percentage is, does not represent the truth of Christianity or the true Christians. There is a remnant that represents the true Christians, just as there was a remnant even in the time of Judah that represented true Jewish believers. So the remnant that Jeremiah represented are distinguished from the unbelieving mass of the people. So the coming captivity will be shared by both the remnant and the unbelievers, because, let's face it, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jehovah's judgment upon Judah is going to be a purifying chastisement, and then these who are the remnant receive the promise. Two things have always characterized a remnant. This is something for you to understand as you study this, and if you're part of the remnant, you understand it. The remnant always had a loyalty to the very Word of God, to the Bible, to the Torah in the Old Testament. So a loyalty to the Word of God is number one. And then a separation from those who call themselves believers, but who mock the Word, who don't believe the Word is the Word. They think it contains the Word. They think it has some words of good use, but it is not the Word of God. So the remnant then has a loyalty to the Word of God, and it separates itself from those who mock the Word of God. Chapter 17 continues the sign of the unmarried prophet. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn for ever. When we read such statements, it should make us tremble. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. So the Lord says to Jeremiah, pronounce this curse. And when the Lord curses you, that is a significant thing. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. How sad it is when we trust in man, when we trust in human beings. It causes governments to go astray and awry. It causes houses and households and families to go astray and awry. It causes individuals to sin. And God pronounces a curse upon those who trust in human beings instead of trusting in Almighty God. That is the sin of our age, as well as the sin of Judah.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.